Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is a true crime podcast, as the title suggests. So please consider this your warning that it's not suitable for children. And it probably will contain content that may be triggering to some people. Also, it's an Australian true crime podcast, so Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should be aware it may contain the voices of deceased people.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present, and those emerging.
Our guest today embodies one of the earliest objectives of Australian true crime, in that the event she's here to talk about has long since fallen from the news. But she joins us to talk about the many ways it's affected and still affects her family. Sarah is a professional woman. She's married with young children, and she takes great pride in the ordered nature of her life. It's a far cry from the chaos left behind for her father's generation by her grandparents, whose marriage came to a violent end in the 1950s. As you'll hear, Sarah's peaceful existence has taken a lot of work on her part. The family continues to be impacted by the chaos, dysfunction, and trauma of the gruesome family headline from three quarters of a century ago.
I think I was around 7 or 8 when I was told that my paternal grandfather had murdered my paternal grandmother. It was my biological mother that told me, and that my parents had been long since divorced by then. Their relationship was quite short. it would be what we would now refer to as a shotgun wedding. And they had a fairly dysfunctional but short relationship, and then they divorced.
I mean, your father came from a family that doesn't get much more dysfunctional than your father murdering your mum, and that's his background. How old was he when that happened?
He was 3.
Oh, my God.
He was 3. So he's one of 5 children. The youngest was 2 and the oldest was 9. It came out in the murder trial that my biological grandfather also grew up in an orphanage, and I know nothing about his circumstances.
We're talking right now about William Francis Godwin. So these two got married, William and Mary.
In about 1940, 1941.
So in that stage they're in their very early 20s?
24, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And then within that 10 years or so, they had 5 kids.
A few different people, including the murderer and the family of my paternal grandmother, all said that their relationship was pretty problematic, violent. She spent long periods of time away from him. He called it running away, up to about 7 months on one occasion.
But then at some point there's a final argument, yeah, where William shoots his wife, Mary. Do you know if the children were present during that?
They were definitely all in the house at the time. The timeline's a little bit fuzzy, but it appears that it happened around 9 o'clock in the morning. The cousin of my grandmother, who I spoke to in 1999, said that he was under the impression that the two eldest children actually witnessed the shooting. They were the two that helped with the subsequent burial.
It's horrific, isn't it?
It really is.
William sold the house as quickly as possible, the house in Collin Road, East Oakley, after he and the two eldest had buried Mary under the floorboards. He sold the house.
Yes. Sold the house, moved to Richmond.
Where did he say Mary was? Did he just sort of try and pass it off as she's just taken off again? Don't know.
Yeah, no doubt if anyone was asking questions, the line would have been, well, she's run off on me again. And because that wasn't uncommon, it was a very plausible explanation. And it wasn't until the new owners of the house complained of a smell that could not be put down to the nearby abattoir that there were questions asked. And he says he gave himself up. He basically went mad. He thought that he was drinking profusely following the move and said that he could essentially hear voices and that he could see people across the road that weren't there and they were talking to him or surveilling him. And once the questions were being asked about the smell in the house, and he came clean and he confessed. He received a death sentence initially. The jury, although they found him guilty of her murder, I think they bought his story that it was an accident. And so they said, we recommend that clemency or leniency. And so the result of that was that instead of receiving a death sentence, it was commuted to life. And at the time, a life sentence was 15 years, and he served about 11 and a half of the 15-year sentence. I think the real tragedy is that this one event had a very significant impact on all of the generations. So the oldest child had a disability and died fairly young. The other 4 children are sent to orphanages and they were split up. They weren't together. After he died, all of the children who'd had relationships in their earlier years, all of their marriages had broken down. Some had committed abuse against their own children, and the 2 oldest brothers committed suicide.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
So there's 2 left, 2 remaining.
Oh, my goodness. Of all 5 of Mary and William's children, there's 2 remaining.
Yeah.
one of whom is your biological father.
Yes.
The fact that you refer to your parents as your biological parents, I think, says it all.
Well, I guess I have to differentiate, because throughout all of this, I've been incredibly fortunate to be welcomed into another family. And I never want anybody to think that when I say my mother or my father, I'm talking about the sane, well-adjusted people that looked after me, because I've spent the majority of my life with the more functional.
Who are they? How did you find them? How'd they find you?
My biological mother met this man in a bookshop. He worked at the bookshop, and they had similar interests. And he mentioned that, I think she might have said, oh, I have a daughter. And he said, oh, I've got a daughter and a son. And they established that their daughters were the same age. And so we were introduced while they went off to do their hobbies in the occult. I think at the time, my biological mother referred to herself as a white witch.
Sure.
I mean, she wouldn't come home, and I was terrified of being left alone. And so if child protection in this modern time caught wind of what was happening, I would have been taken away. So while the father was practicing his occult with my mother and, a group of other people, this was not just the two of them, his wife, then wife, was at home looking after the children and being a normal person. And she was the most wonderful role model that you could ever wish for. And I just adored this woman, because she was everything that I wanted and didn't have. I started spending weekends with them. I spent some school holidays with them because my biological mother was still working at the time. I spent Christmases with them sometimes. And then from that part-time relationship that started when I was sort of 7 turning 8, by the time I was 14 and I got kicked out of home, I went and lived with her.
I think we should acknowledge, before we go any further, your mum, your biological mother, she took her own life, right?
She did. She, at 57 years old, she was the same age as my paternal grandfather. He died at 57.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because I hadn't had any contact with her since 1994, I wasn't aware whether or not she was still alive.
Oh, wow. Okay. You really no contact.
Yes. But it turns out that when someone dies, you do eventually get notified. My understanding is that after the suicide, the parents were contacted. The body could not be visually identified because of the mode in which the suicide took place, which was carbon monoxide poisoning in a sealed room. And it was the height of summer. It was 40 degrees. So after a couple of days, the body is very significantly decomposed. And a DNA, like a mouth swab, was obtained from her mother, my grandmother, and that they used the mitochondrial DNA to confirm her identity. And so a couple of weeks before I'm about to start this new job, I'm at my, you know, current workplace. I get a phone call and they say to me, we need to tell you that your mother has died. And I clap my chest and stop breathing because I think they're talking about the person who has raised me, and I'm just frozen. I can't breathe. My ears are ringing. But I also somehow think he used my previous surname, and then he said the name, and I went, oh, her. To which, you know, he was quite confused. But then I was sort of being told that I'd need to, yeah, clean out the house. And I was thinking, why do I have to do this? And I was pretty angry because this woman terrorized my childhood. I was absolutely in fear so much of the time because she was so volatile and unpredictable.
I wonder what would have happened if you'd just said no, if you'd just said everything you just said. This woman terrorized my childhood. For that reason, I have cut off contact with her. I haven't seen her in 20 years. I'm not dealing with her.
I think eventually the Department of Housing probably would have just come in with a large skip bin, thrown everything away and cleaned the premises.
Yeah. So why didn't you let them do that? What made you what made you go over there?
I guess for answers, for proof that she was actually dead, and also because knowing what this government bureaucracy is like, that it would sit there for a year and there was probably a very long list of people that would be absolutely busting to get into a property. And really, if it could be freed up and used, then why shouldn't it? But I guess I was not prepared for the fact that everything would be left exactly as it was. So there was a barbecue with coals in it on a pane of glass on the floor. There was sticky tape over the air vents, and there a door snake had been placed behind the door to keep the room sealed for the process. There was a body identification tag on the bedside table. There was a small black box with, I guess, like the shell of the pill. So whatever substance was inside was missing.
Oh, so she'd sedated herself.
Presumably taken.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
With a straw. So there was a straw and a large number of empty capsules. And there was just this really revolting smell in the room. But I went in, I spent 10 days getting rid of everything. It was full of crap.
Yeah, what did you learn about who she'd been before she died?
There were a lot of diaries that, you know, conceded that she'd basically come to the end. She'd, in her words, fucked up her life and had isolated herself from everyone, her family, her friends, her employer. She was on work cover for a bullying claim, and there was documents about she was just fighting with everybody. So there was the neighbours, and then there was, you know, she bought this desk and she wasn't happy with the final product and she was taking the desk builder to VCAT. And I felt more compassion than I expected to. You know, I didn't sort of think, oh, good, which the me of 20 years ago probably would have. Really, it just made me feel sorry for her.
So how do you then end up you? And when I say that, when I say that, I say that knowing that you are You know, you've had a very successful career. You yourself are the co-head of a successful family, by which I mean, you know, you're raising kids, you're in a loving relationship, and you come from generations of trauma, generations of it on both sides. Alcoholism.
Mental ill health.
Yeah, you've got suicide on both sides. How are you?
Well, years of therapy, for one. But I've had good role. You know, I've had people that believed in me who stood by me and provided a really good role model of what it is to live a good life and how to navigate conflict and things. Because I didn't have any conflict resolution skills as a teenager, because I hadn't seen any. All I'd seen was blowing up, yelling, screaming, physical violence, cutting people off and never speaking to them again. And it took me living with a family that had those disagreements and resolved them without cutting each other off or hitting each other or doing things, you know, negative ways of reacting to conflict, to realize that, oh, there is actually another way to navigate life. And you don't have to just fall out with somebody and never speak to them again. It's, you can actually say to people, that really hurt my feelings, or when you did this, I felt X. And I'm so, so grateful to have the family that I have. I have an amazing partner. You know, a controversy in my house is when the whites get put in with the colored washing. You know, no one's ending up under the floorboards.
Thank you to our guest today, Sarah. If you need support after listening to this podcast, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737 732 or 1-800-RESPECT.org.au. Indigenous Australians can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or 13yarn.org.au. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp.
They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.